At every level of consciousness, there is some happiness, some energy, some intelligence. And that some degree of happiness, energy and intelligence one keeps on enjoying. One doesn't know, there is no way to know what one is missing without higher consciousness. That is the reason why many people in the world feel, oh, it's enough, what more? And I have this, and I have this, and I have this, and I have this. I was virtually asked a question. This was during the first round the world travel, when I was in Hawaii. First eastern, western country that I stepped on. A lady asked in the audience, she said, I have everything and I don't want anything. Have you something to offer to me? I have everything and I don't want anything, yet there is an inquiry for something. I said, yes, I have something to offer to you. If you are really contented and really are not in need of anything, then I have the misery of the whole world to offer to you. If you have known in your life how to rise above suffering and how to live in happiness, I would invite you to come and give this technique to all the people. And if you are really satisfied, let us examine if that is the case. This feeling of self-sufficiency, if it's really on the platform of fulfillment or what? I said, if some real estate agent comes to you and describes a beautiful apartment living in which you will get things just by desiring. If you want water, it comes. If you want something, it comes. Anything that you may desire, it comes to you. Would you like to change your house to that? She said, who would not like such a house? Then I said, if you could change your house, then the feeling of self-sufficiency is only due to lack of some better possibility. You don't know that there is some better possibility of life, and that's why you are feeling self-sufficient. This self-sufficiency, the feeling of self-sufficiency in poverty or in the lack of abundance is a very great barrier for progress in life. A poor man can think, I am wealthy and what? Or even if he doesn't feel wealthy, he just thinks, I don't need anything. He will never work to become wealthy and he will always remain poor. This feeling of self-sufficiency, this sense of desirelessness, or minimize the desire, don't desire much. This principle of life has proved to be a very great barrier for the progress of Indian people. The whole philosophy of life for many centuries was taught in terms of lessening the desire, not desiring much, because the argument was given, you may desire more and more and more and more and more, and how long you could desire, all the desires cannot be satisfied, and therefore if you continue to desire, you are sure to become miserable and peaceless and worried. And therefore, if you want to live in peace, better not desire. Lots of books in the name of God realization, in the name of religion or spiritual development, have been written to discourage the people from desire. And that only meant close the door of progress. Don't desire means don't progress. Desire is the start of progress. And if you don't desire, then how can you progress? What we want is not the peace that would come to us by not desiring, but the peace that would come to us on the level of fulfillment by gaining the ability to fulfill our desire. Instead of not desiring and feeling peace, we want to gain the ability to fulfill all our desires. And on that level of fulfillment, we want to live in peace. That feeling of self-sufficiency due to not knowing the greater possibility is damaging to progress. It is quite possible for a man, for every man, to fulfill his desires. Two things are necessary. One is use of one's full potential, and second, support from Almighty Nature. In order to be really able to fulfill all our desires, firstly, we should use full mental potential. Meaning thereby, we should desire from that mind which has enormous power of thought, full capacity of the mind should be used for a desire. And for that it is necessary that normally full potentiality is used for every thought. This is one thing. If one can desire, why one can't fulfill the desire? If the machine can project a desire, why can't it not project the action to fulfill that desire? The very fact that the desire is shooting forth from this machine indicates some potentiality in the machine to project the action to fulfill that desire. If the individual is using his full potentiality, fine. He should be able to fulfill his desire. But over and above this, if he can get the sympathy and support of the Almighty Nature to support his mind, to support his desire, what can there be which can't be accomplished with the help of the Almighty Nature? So our theme is to educate every man and make him capable of fulfilling his desire by firstly unfolding his own full potentiality, and by gaining sympathy and support of the Almighty Nature. And if we analyze the connection between full potentiality and the favorable attitude of the Almighty Nature, then we will find that both happen simultaneously. One depends on the other. There is a very old proverb, God helps those who help themselves. The World Bank is not accessible to those who are poor businessmen. Small banks are for them. Some man who is not putting his full wealth in the market, the banks would be afraid to help him. They'll say, why are you not using so many millions more? So some man who is thrifty about himself, not using one's full potential, means thrifty about his own machine. He doesn't want to use his machinery that is provided to him. He doesn't want to use his full mind that is provided to him. So such a thrifty man will not receive support from some bigger agency. When he is liberal in using himself fully, then the nature will be liberal to him to help. God helps those who help themselves. If one is not helping oneself, means one is not using one's full potentiality, then he can't expect help from the surroundings, help from nature. So as one grows in the use of one's potential, the support from nature comes spontaneously. Both things happen simultaneously. Growth of one's potentiality, help from nature, both come simultaneously. And therefore, there could not be any desire which could not be fulfilled. It's very important we don't get on to the so-called ideologies or philosophies of life which ask us to kill the mind, to kill the ego, and no killing. We are for all expansion, expansion. Expansion of the mind, expansion of the ego. Let the individual ego expand to become cosmic ego, and from there we want to work. Cosmic consciousness, God consciousness. It only needs this application, a systematic application of the teachings. And then cosmic consciousness and God consciousness are waiting for us. And they are not waiting far from us, they are waiting within us. We have only to start functioning on that level, and we are pretty well on the way. This due to, again I would say, due to nothing other than what our life already is. That is our life. We have two aspects of nervous system. We have that machinery, very compact and full, which is capable of giving us cosmic consciousness and leading us on to God consciousness. We must live God consciousness on earth, why not? When we are endowed with something, better we use it and be happy. So the connection between the body and the mind, a clear analysis of this connection lays before us that cosmic consciousness, even though it is a state of life which harmonizes two opposite states of consciousness, transcendental, absolute and relative waking, two opposite states of life, become compatible in one at the same time. And this ability in man is due to the two aspects of nervous system which function alternately. This was your question? Yes?
That explains the Trinity. Is it not my reason? The Trinity of the individual?
Now, in what sense Trinity is being used?
Well, it's spoken of in our Bible. It's spoken of in our Bible.
Tell me clearly what the Bible says about Trinity.
I'm asking you. Well, I'm asking this as a question. Would this not, the way you explain the two nervous systems, the two function of the nervous system coming to cosmic consciousness and then further culturing to God consciousness, would explain like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Would that not be correct?
How we will equate these three with what? Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. What does the Bible say about the Holy Ghost?
That's what I'm saying.
Someone has clear idea about Trinity? It will be good to see if we can equate. If we can, we will. Yes? Huh? In? What is it?
Tongues of fire.
I'm interested in knowing someone who has some clear idea about this Trinity. Yes? No, I lost you. Now, Creator, shall we equate him with Absolute or what? With Prana?
Well, the Son would be equated with Karma, and the Holy Spirit would be equated with being.
No, we want the interpretation from Bible. Our guessing will not be authentic. Yes? What is the Christian conception of Creator? Can we say absolute? Now, is it clear that the Son is Christ? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Father, supposing we take the Creator, and supposing we take the Absolute, and then who is the Son? Christ is the Son. Say it again, loudly. So that is the Son. So maybe two points are clear. What is the Holy Ghost now? Holy Ghost.
I think I've read somewhere that the Holy Ghost is that of God which is within each of us. That is just an interpretation.
We can get some statements from the Bible. Hmm?
Yeah. Some master of theology. Conference of knowledge and power. That makes sense. Which brings enlightenment to everyone. Okay? I think that's very well said. Knowledge and power. Conference of knowledge and power. Love goes with all knowledge. Knowledge. So, Absolute the God and Son the Christ and when Christ is not available, then Holy Ghost takes care of the emancipation of mankind. That's the idea? That's the idea. then transcendental meditation may be equated with Holy Ghost. Because this is something that is so very natural to life and yet enlightening. So very natural, but takes a man out of the ignorance of his natural status in cosmic being, and this enlightenment, so this instrument or this means of enlightenment, transcendental meditation, may be said to be the projection or the working tool of the Holy Ghost, which is leading everyone to live the teaching of the Son, to find and communicate to Father. Because the teaching of Christ, the essential teaching according to what I have heard, is Kingdom of Heaven is within you. Kingdom of Heaven means the seat of God, the concentrated sphere of the light of God. So some means that opens our awareness to that is the means instituted by the Holy Ghost, who wishes the light of God to be lived by everyone. So, for all the Christians, according to the teaching of Christ, the light of God present within is available through the instrumentality of transcendental meditation, which apparently appears to be the working tool of the Holy Ghost for the emancipation of every being. So we have found an equation. The Absolute and the Son and His teachings and the Holy Ghost, who works with the tool of transcendental meditation. And here is the fulfillment of all the knowledge of theology. Because the whole knowledge of theology is to, I don't know whether it is or not, but it must be, to the in leading every man to fulfillment, in making every man live the light of God, in making every man to live the light of God. And then it's a beautiful equating platform. The teaching of every religion can in this way be interpreted to find fulfillment in the light of God, which is very naturally and spontaneously gained through the practice of transcendental meditation. So, transcendental meditation is a common platform for all religions to meet. This is a common basis to all religions. And as long as all the religions did not have a common basis in the light of God, so long they themselves were baseless without the light of God. All about the proclamation of the intentions of religion to lead a man to light of God was just baseless as long as the teaching of that religion did not inspire the man to open himself to the light of God present within. And therefore, transcendental meditation, which is a common platform for all, is also a separate platform for every religion. Not only a common platform, but that is the platform, that is the solid basis of all religions. The light of God is the solid basis of all religions. And therefore, what we are propagating is a goodwill and a harmony. In the followers of all religions and making available equally to all something that will really make their own